Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to The Kim Pagano Show. I am Kim, and I can't believe we are already in November. And, of course, November is all about being grateful and thankful for all the things that we have. And, of course, I'm so grateful that you have tuned in here. I know you have lots of choices, lots of places to start your day in the morning, and I'm just grateful that you started them with me. And also a big shout out to all my winners that were at Dr. Wu. That was a great event. And of course, thank you to Dr. Wu and their whole band for letting me share their message. And of course, we've got some more giveaways. And of course, Pam got a couple tickets there for the great junk hunt. And of course, congratulations to her. But we have more tickets and we'd love to get those out. And of course, December 6th and December 7th is right around the corner. So, of course, our phone number here is 805-419-0008. And, of course, Randy Lubas has given us tickets to comedy, and so you can snatch some of those up. So, again, just call us, text us at 419-0008. Also, I want to personally invite you, November 14th is right around the corner, and December 11th in Thousand Oaks, I have my business mixer. It is in person. We'd love to have you there. We'd love to share what I'm doing there. We've been full, and it is so much fun meeting so many new people. I always start our show with something uplifting. Today's is happiness is not by chance, but by choice. And which brings me to my first guest is GC Brown. GC, welcome. I'm excited to really just kind of talk to you. You've actually been serving a 16-year in federal prison on tax offenses. We're going to find out a little bit about that, your journey, and, you know, kind of just figuring out that you actually made a win-win out of this whole situation. I'm interested to talk with you. GC, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me. Pleased to be here.
Yeah, thank you. And tell us a little bit about yourself, first of all. I know that you've been writing a award-winning novel, okay, I guess. And is it a Ben Franklin Gold Writing Award, correct?
Well, the one that's actually released today, Sniff, I did win that award, the Benjamin Franklin Award. I won for a previous book. We pulled it off the shelf. I wrote that first book in prison kind of just as an ego thing to see if I could do it. I fell in love with the process. I fell in love with writing. And I was entered into that contest without being told first. It was kind of a surprise, winning it. And when I won it, I realized that I could do better than that even. So I took that book back from the publisher. We took it off the shelf, and I tore it apart. After winning the award, I tore it apart sentence by sentence and decided to turn it into a series called the Mason Storm series. And yeah, that book comes out, the first book of that comes out March 1st. Today, Sniff is released today, which is a different fictional book.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you definitely made it a win-win. So talk to us before prison. What did you do?
Okay, so quick sketch. I grew up in the Midwest on a small farm. Developed a work ethic early on, quickly grew out of small town USA, been self-employed. Out of high school, I had a bunch of different offers to play baseball. My grandfather played professional. My uncle played professional, so it's kind of in the blood.
So did you just see the game, the World Series? That was pretty amazing game.
It was amazing, and I was hoping that, as a side note, I was hoping that they would put the parade off for a couple of days. I was hoping that it would be like on Monday. It's today, the same day as my book release. So I'm not able to go. I've been wanting to go to one of these parades. I'm a Tom Brady diehard, so I missed all of his parades while inside. And then the first one I'm able to go to, the Dodgers. Okay, I live here in California. And it's today, the same day as the release, and I can't go. So sad. Yeah. And I'm literally 40 minutes, I'm 40 miles from L.A. Is where I live. So it's literally, I'll probably be able to hear it. I won't be able to see it.
No, it was an incredible game. It's funny, we watched all of them until the very last one. And my husband's like, too stressful, I'm not watching it. And then our kids are like, are you watching it? And we're like, okay, turn it. You know, we went to dinner and came back. But, oh my gosh, talk about a win-win. Talk about a team, and you watch both sides. And, you know, of course, we were going for the Dodgers. I know the New Yorkers weren't as happy, but, you know. It really shows that you can turn anything around when you have, I always say, you're better together, okay? And that just really proved it right there.
Yes, for 100%. So I was, like I said, I grew up on a small farm, was destined to play ball, decided that I had had enough. I immediately became self-employed. I've been self-employed since I was 17. I worked for two people my entire life, Target when I was 16, Chick-fil-A when I was 15. I was fired from both of those for, of all things, theft. Both of them, I got caught eating food that they were throwing away. I'm a 15-year-old, 16-year-old boy. And the food they were throwing at Chick-fil-A, I was eating the waffle fries that they were getting ready to. I was standing over the garbage can eating them. I got fired for that. And it was at the Target. I worked at the little cafe in there. I got in trouble and fired for eating the hot dogs that they were going to throw away. So I quickly decided that I wasn't working for anybody ever again. Like I said, I've been self-employed since, everything from detail shops to sandwich shops to eventually nightclubs to a big real estate empire to African diamond trade out of Sierra Leone. I owned a diamond company in Quito, Ecuador, two software companies out in Arizona. So I was doing a lot and had done a lot. Got into the African diamond trade by mistake. A guy who I thought was a friend asked to borrow some money. He had some diamonds sitting over there that just needed to have the excise tax paid on them. I lent him the money, which was 130-some thousand. He obviously disappeared, quit answering phone calls, all that kind of stuff. And I chased the money down. I ended up living in Cairo, Egypt for 9 weeks, and then I lived in Central Africa and Democratic Republic of Congo for another 6 weeks. Got involved and ran into, I lost another 470 grand chasing the diamond trade, but was smart enough to know that there was money to be made and that I was just paying for a lesson. So I stuck it out. I was about 600 grand down. The last 70,000 that I was willing to put into it turned into a decent sized fortune. Government started investigating me, thought that I had no clue that they were, started investigating me, thought I was bringing blood diamonds into the United States because I was in Sierra Leone, Africa, 2 years after their civil war over the diamond complex. So they thought I was bringing blood diamonds in. I was not. 2 years of following me around, all kinds of receipts. They were standing next to me in the same hotels, in the same bars, in the same restaurants. I had no idea. Go back to their supervisor, charged me with some BS tax offenses, wanted me to take a plea and to end the life that I had built and go to prison for a couple of years. I fought them. I knew that I did not do what they said I did. I chose to fight them, took them to trial. They then took and fabricated a story that was just unbelievable, except to the jury. The jury believed it, bought it all, and I ended up being sentenced to 20 years for something they offered me 2 years on. I got sentenced to 20 years, and I did 16 years flat, and got out over a year ago while I was inside. So before I left, right as I left, I was operating three companies on three different continents, doing it basically by myself with a couple of assistants. And I was used to the chaos. I operate best under chaos. And I had a bunch of different things going. Get to prison, all that stopped. It's gray walls. It's TVs, it's inmates, it's staff that's not helping. It's a it's prison. There's none of that there. I was going a little crazy. I went to my case manager. Hey, what can I do? I'm going a little nuts. I want to make money. I want to do something. What can I do from here? He laughed at me and said, you can't do anything except write a book. It's the only thing you're allowed to do.
Oh, I really? Said, so anybody is allowed to write a book from there?
Anybody, as long as you don't write about your crime.
Okay.
Yes. So that's the only thing you're allowed to do in federal prison to make money. So, or anything, period. Now, of course, you can do some of the illegal stuff that's in prison. And
Is there a lot of stuff in prison? Thank God I don't know about that. But, it's interesting to talk with you. And, how did you even learn to write?
Trial and error. I had never written anything. To answer your question, yes, there is all kinds of things in federal prison. There are more drugs and more things to get caught up in federal prison than there are on the streets, believe it or not.
Really?
I lived in South Florida. I seen more in Miami. I seen more drugs in prison than I've ever seen in my life. And not that I wasn't around that scene anyway in my life, but you're in Miami, you see stuff, and I was in the nightclub industry and all that kind of stuff. So there's stuff floating around all the time, but nothing in comparison to the vices that are in federal prison. I imagine any kind of prison, but I've never been in
any prison,
but
probably
federal,
yeah,
for sure. And because of my crimes, they're white collar. They're called white collar crimes, or classified as white collar. There are white collar prisons. They call them club fed, and they're a little nicer, and you don't have the riots, and you don't have the gangs. But you have to have a sentence under 10 years. Because I had a sentence over 10. I did my very first stop was in Texas to a gang unit. Now, I've never been in trouble. I had had a speeding ticket in 10 years. So it was a shell
an
shock.
An eye-opener.
Sure.
Shell shock, yeah.
I had no idea. No idea.
And GC, are you married? Children? Any of those?
So I was not married at the time. I left behind a 7-year-old daughter, Gianna, and a 2-year-old daughter, Liliana. Gianna's now 24, graduated 4 years of college a couple of years ago. Lily from Florida State. Lily is a sophomore at Central Florida right now, but I missed their entire lives. I missed everything.
Did they come to see you?
Phone. Yes, they did up until... I was a little closer with Gianna because I had her for 7 years, so she remembers me, obviously. Lily was 2 or just about to be 2, so two different dynamics in the relationships. It's a process we're still working through now, obviously not being there the entire time. And I was a girl dad for sure. The only thing that hurt him going away, I mean, everything hurt, but the thing that hurt that stuck with me the entire thing and still stuck with me today is those 2 little girls. They were my whole world. Now, I do want to say, just because I wasn't doing what the government said I was doing, could I have been better on my taxes? I was in my 30s making millions of dollars living in a city in Miami. Yes, I could have been better on my taxes. Did it warrant a conviction? Not at all. The statute says willfully evade. That was not the case at all. They took the money. They considered it ill-gotten gains because they say that I evaded. They turned that into wire fraud and mail fraud because I used their tax money to buy mortgages. That's how they got to 20 years. The government, just so you know, has a 97% conviction rate. So as you know, our government today, does anybody honestly believe that they're right 97% of the time? Doubtful. I was with a lot of guys that I wished I could say I was one of the only cases in there like mine. That's not the case. But that's neither here nor there.
Are you in contact with anybody in there?
I am. Mm-hmm. I talk to now. There isn't a prison full of a ton of good people. That needs to be. That's obvious. In the 16 years I did, I think I took 5 people's information. that I felt comfortable with, that they could be a part of my lives, I could be a part of theirs, so forth. So it's limited kind of prison. Either you get up and you turn your life around, you make something out of yourself, or you sit there and rot. And just, it's unfortunate. They don't, prison isn't built to rehabilitate. It's a, at all, people think that, oh, you go there and you get to take classes and you get to go to school. And you, that's none of that's true. That's all, I did 16 years flat.
So unless you're a self-starter, you
you're not
will
going
not
anywhere.
Go anywhere. Yeah.
Anywhere good. At
I mean,
all.
That's, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how it is in life, but obviously
yeah,
in a way harder situation.
People think that there's a big, that prison is something different than what it is. You have two responsibilities in prison. You have to stand by your bunk twice a day, three times on the weekend for a head count. Other than that, you can come and go as you please. You can sleep where you want, how you want, or not where you want, but you can sleep how long you want. There is no, you can eat what you, there are no, there is no parameters to follow. Either you get up and do something with your life or you don't.
Wow,
so the, everybody knows
incredible.
The Cracker Box. You got to buy two boxes a week. So I would run around during the week, and you're given, at that time, you got $290 a month you could spend on your food. At the later, last part of my incarceration, it was raised to $360. Obviously, the inflation, $290 didn't buy anything anymore. Neither did the $360. But so you got to buy two salting cracker boxes. I would take and trade coffee, Snickers, chips, whatever it might be that I didn't eat off of my commissary list. So I'd buy that for somebody else, and then somebody would buy me two boxes of saltine crackers. So every week I'd collect 15, 16, 18, whatever the number was of saltine cracker boxes. I'd take a part of one of the disposable razors. I'd take the razor out. I'd make a slit down the side of one of the corners, open it up, and I wrote on the inside of saltine cracker boxes. And I end up winning an award with that book.
Did you win the award when you were in there, or had you ever done that before?
No, never. So when the case manager told me that the only thing that I could do was write a book, I walked out of his office, obviously discouraged. What do I know about writing a book? I've never written anything. I was a real estate guy, a diamond guy for a little bit, a restaurant, and I never wrote anything. So fast forward, a couple of months goes by. Obviously, I don't start writing the book. A couple of months goes by. I end up in solitary confinement for 15 months. I just didn't get along with some of the politics that are that happen inside prison. And they decided that I should sit in solitary confinement. And I stayed there for 15 months in a 6x9 CMAT box. The door never opened, ever. Unless there's problems. But anyway, while in there, while in the box, I was fighting my appeals. So I got a legal call one day, and I called back home to Florida, talked to the attorney. He says, hey, what do you do all day? I said, listen, all I do is read. I read. I read a book a day. He said, you should write a book. What do I know about writing a book? But this is the second time somebody said it. I didn't think much of it. A couple months goes by, and one of the other inmates on the tier screams through the door, hey, you want to see USA Today? So it's a guy that had just came into the hole from outside on the compound. He gets the cop to slide the USA Today newspaper underneath my door. I read it, front page article, USA Today, top 10 hardest things to do. Writing and completing a novel is number 3. I said, oh, this is the third time that this has come up. Let me pick up a pen. I started writing. I got 120 pages in and realized that I had fallen in love with it. And at that time, I was only 120 pages in, and I predicted this day right here, right now. I said that I was going to be an author. I was going to be a New York Times bestselling author, and that's just what I was going to do for a living. So that
I
did it, and I'm here now. And Sniff is out today. Today it's released. And
okay. And so, GC, what and where do we find your book, and what is it you know, we need to obviously have you back on because this is so interesting. And what an incredible goal. After serving 16 years in federal prison, you wrote your own book, you wrote your own shows, right? I mean, where do we find it?
You can go to the website. I walked out of prison to a 7-book publishing deal, so it's through a publisher. You can find it on Amazon right now. It's released today. G.C. Brown, Sniff, S-N-I-F-F is the title. G.C. Brown Books is the website. G.C. Brown, either G.C. Brown or G.C. Brown Books on every one of the, I think I'm on 21 different social media sites.
Wow.
They've got it everywhere.
Taken by Storm.
Yeah, and Taken by Storm is book one of the Mason Storm series, which gets released March 1st.
I love it. Congratulations.
So two series. I walked out of prison with two different series, and they're releasing them one at a time, each series.
There you go. I love your story. I love your, you know, your stamina of like, you know, you're not going to, nobody's going to back down, right? Kind of like, you did not back down. And so I love that. And you came out as a winner. Good for you. What an incredible storm. I mean, it was a perfect storm, right? I mean, in a sense,
it was,
you know?
It was.
Yeah. Wow. I love that. Okay. So thank you so much for joining us here. Please share our show with everyone. I'd love to have you back. And again, thank you so much. Good luck.
Thank you so much for having me.
You got it. All right. We are going to take a really quick break. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. And stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Kim Pagano invites you to discover the Palm Garden Hotel, where elegance meets comfort in Thousand Oaks. After a stunning $5 million renovation, the hotel boasts a fresh and vibrant look, just under an hour from Malibu's iconic shores. Whether you're visiting for business or leisure, we offer a full array of modern amenities, surrounded by lush gardens and a serene courtyard. Our expansive 14,000 square feet of flexible event space is perfect for any occasion, from intimate gatherings to large conferences. Let our expert team bring your vision to life. We're thrilled to introduce Selvin's Restaurant Plus Lounge, ideal for your next dinner event or weekend escape. Enjoy complimentary perks like Wi-Fi parking and one of the best hot breakfasts in Thousand Oaks. Stay active in our fitness center, equipped with modern training equipment. Book your next stay with us at palmgardenhotel.com or call 805-716-4200 for reservations. We look forward to welcoming you.
Are you worried your perfect customers are finding you online, then clicking away because your website makes your business look outdated? Imagine this, having a website that reflects your expertise and professionalism. Peace of mind knowing your website is kept up to date and secure. A managed hosting plan, especially for your website. If you're ready to have all that you imagined, visit webweaversconsulting.com for WordPress website packages, maintenance plans, and hosting plans. Webweavers Consulting will make your website work for you so you can focus on making a difference in your own unique way. That's webweaversconsulting.com.
TNT Anger Management Services knows that sometimes we get overwhelmed at work and home with our deadline. Try these three tips to help you regain order and focus. Number one, staying focused on the priority should be your main objective. Number two, we all know the word multitasking is highly overrated, so try to keep it simple. Number three, set boundaries for yourself, eliminating side talk and chatter, which can be really disrupting when you have a deadline. These are just some ways to collect oneself, complete your lead task. For more information, visit TNTAMS.com. Or if you're experiencing a lack of focus and anger, please feel free to call Norman Thatcher, the facilitator and owner of TNT Anger Management, directly, 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255, or go to TNTAMS.com.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. I hope that you are starting your day in a positive way.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Are you doing all right this morning, too?
I am. And I want to just remind our guests that are just tuning in, you're listening to the Kim Pagano Show. And, of course, my next guest is going to prepare us for the holiday season with Walmart Business, tips for businesses to simplify seasonal preparation, gifting, and party planning. I can't believe it's already in, you know, at the end of this year. And, of course, Amanda Yeager from Walmart is going to share some of these tips with us. And it's really about balancing, you know, balancing and gratitude and saying, you know, thank you to all the people that have helped you through the year. So, Amanda, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. I think you said it best. It kind of sneaks up on you, doesn't it? It's such a special time of year, but I know it can be a hectic and busy one, too.
Yeah, you're trying to, like, get your, you know, your goals for the last part of your year in your business, and at the same time, you're like, oh, my gosh, we're preparing Thanksgiving and the holidays, and, in fact, Thanksgiving is, like, one of my favorites, so we're doing it this year. No gifts. Just gratitude, right? And get as many family members there. So,
I love that. That's what it's all about. So I think you got the right idea.
There you go. So can you tell us about how Walmart Business is simplifying the holiday shopping experience for organizations?
Oh, I'd love to. It really is simplifying that experience for businesses because, like we mentioned, it's busy this time of year, and so it's really helpful to have a place you can go as a one-stop shop and get everything you need. And that's really what Walmart Business is. We're a dedicated, tailored experience for businesses. And you can check us out online at business.walmart.com, or we also have an app, which is super convenient, the Walmart Business app. So it's really a place where you can go to get those everyday essentials, the day-to-day items that you need, from cleaning supplies to office supplies, putting that maybe on a subscription so that you don't have to think about it every single day. It's about coming and thinking about, what do we need for our holiday party? Can we get everything we need, from the food to the plates, forks, napkins, all of that in one place? Yeah, you can with Walmart Business, which is fantastic. And it's also about thinking about the gifts around this time of year, too.
Yeah, Amanda, so is Walmart Business different than Walmart?
It's the same process in terms of giving you affordability and convenience, but we're also creating a dedicated, tailored experience for businesses. So this is where you can go. You can, at your business of any different size, you can go create a free account at business.walmart.com, and we have made a tailor site for business needs with you in mind. So all those things that you're thinking about, like I mentioned, from like the day-to-day to the holidays, we have this special place where you can go to get everything that you need for your business. And so, of course, everybody, we're happy to help everybody throughout the season at our regular Walmart stores and online, of course. But for businesses, we know that they are thinking about a lot of things all at once and really need a customized, like tailored experience for just them. And that's where Walmart Business comes in. And it's so, so, so helpful.
I love that, because that is actually, you know, it's so funny. My husband and I know that my listeners are going to laugh at me, right? My kids do it all the time, like Instacart and all that, right? We're like, we need a couple things. So we put a list in and, you know, I'm not kidding. Within 2 hours, Walmart delivers it. We're like, wow, we've got all this other stuff done. So the same thing with your businesses, to actually put this list in and have them deliver, right?
Yes. Isn't that amazing? Isn't Walmart a little bit magical? And that is like, you can get everything you need so quickly. It's like a
there
we're Santa's helpers this year. We'll say that. But yes, of course.
There you go. I like that.
Yeah, we have same-day delivery options, next-day delivery, two-day delivery. I mean, anything that you need, we're going to be here for. Even late-night delivery. Say it's like the night before and you realize, uh-oh, I forgot to add the napkins to my order earlier.
Right.
All our business, it's like, we'll have you taken care of, and we'll get you what you need, even if it's last minute. So it's just the beauty and convenience of Walmart. Help and spread that holiday magic.
I love it. Okay, so talk to us about some of those great employee and client gifts. What are they?
Yeah. I think it's always a special time for a business to be able to show their appreciation and in a way that's able to be special for them. And so I think this year we're thinking about how do we do that maybe in a different way, in a unique way. Like maybe we did gift cards before, which are always great, but maybe we could do something different. So it's been really cool to be able to share about Walmart Business Print, which is really a great opportunity to help you personalize the gift a little bit more. So you can make branded coffee mugs, for example, or custom tote bags. Put the brand image on there, put your logo on there, and give something that is actually meeting the need. They can drink their coffee, have it at home or at work. They have a custom tote bag that they can, you know, throw in some of the things they need for their kids' soccer game, maybe after the day ends. It's just a really special little extra piece that you can do there, and you can have recommendations for that on Walmart Business based on how many people you're buying for. There's really low to no minimum order quantity required for that, which is fairly typical for when you're doing custom items. So that's really, really nice, because even if you're a small business, you can still take advantage of that Walmart Business Print opportunity to do that, those branded items. With Walmart Business, you're able to just be able to go to that one-stop place, like I mentioned. And so, you know, we love to help our nonprofits too, whether they're coming and shopping in our stores, getting those last-minute items, like I mentioned, or needing to be able to find things that are budget-friendly. But for businesses that really need to be thinking about these things around this time of year, Walmart Business is just such a fantastic resource, because it just gets hectic. It's thinking about going to all sorts of different places. Maybe in the past you have bought, you know, a turkey or a ham and gifted that to all the employees at the office, and it's like, this is so special but so hectic, and it can be difficult to coordinate. You can be able to go to Walmart Business and get something like our Walmart Select gift card, where you can give the gift of ham or a turkey in the form of a gift card, but don't have to find a freezer to store everything in, you know. And so it just makes it so much easier. So whether you're a business and able, you know, to take advantage of the amazing resource of Walmart Business, or whether you're a nonprofit who just needs to find things that are budget friendly to do what you need to do during this time of year to make the most of it, we're here to help you. Whatever customer is coming into our stores,
I love that. I love that. Yeah, is this new, or is this just, has it been around and we didn't know it?
Yeah, so Walmart, of course, has served businesses for years, but really over the last couple of years is when we have created this more dedicated, tailored experience for businesses. So we love to spread the word, let people know so that they can realize what a fantastic resource there is available to them with Walmart. And, you know, Walmart is just, we're everywhere. We're in all sorts of communities all over, and so it makes it easy because you can rely on us, depend on us, and now we're making it easier for businesses to do that as well. So it's a fantastic, tailored experience.
I love it. So how can businesses and organizations maximize their budget this holiday season?
Yeah, so important, right? I think I think when you're thinking about the budget and trying to figure out where do we want to spend a little extra, where do we need to pull back, you're able to really utilize Walmart Business to do all of that and think through all of that at once with, of course, the affordable and everyday low prices that Walmart has to make that easier across the board. So whereas in the past you may have been going to all sorts of different places and getting different quotes for items and paying a lot of money to go to all these different places, you're able to really find everything you need in one place and have and be able to be ensured that you're going to be getting everyday low prices and have affordability and budget at top of mind. So when you're thinking about those budgets, maybe you're thinking about, okay, I know what the budget is. We've set it. I need to be able to search for different gifts that will fit in that budget, search for the items we need for our party that will be in that budget. You can do that in the Walmart Business app and online, actually search based on those various parameters that you've set. So as you're thinking about the budget, you can be ensured that we're thinking about you too, and we've made that easy for you to find what you need to stay in the budget.
I love it. Well, Amanda, thank you so much. Where do our listeners find more information? And I appreciate you being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show. Please share our show with everyone too.
I love it. Thank you. Yes. So if you want to check us out online, you can create a free account there at business.walmart.com or just go to your app store, download the Walmart Business app, have us in your pocket.
Thank you so much for being a guest here.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us here. And, of course, for our listeners who were just coming back, I've got, of course, we're going to be talking a little bit about business owners anticipate revenue growth over the next year. And, of course, Mark Bennett, Southeast Regional Executive Business Banking, is talking to us from Bank of America. Welcome again, and talk to us a little bit about who you are, and of course, then we're going to get into what business owners' expectations for the coming year.
Well, thank you again, Kim, for the opportunity to be able to join you. And so I'm Mark Bennett, Southeast Region Exec, covering our business banking teams, which will consist of startup to about $50 million in revenue for companies. And I'm also have the opportunity to be the president of Bank of America Jacksonville as well.
Very cool. Very cool. So, you know, we are in a political year, only a few days away, but you know, what are we expecting for the coming year?
So I will tell you, the business owners remain positive because they're confident in their business prospects while navigating the current economic conditions. So through our survey data and just numerous client roundtable discussions, business owners feel supported to the point where there's three important takeaways on the growth outlook for the next 12 months. And so the first key takeaway was 78% expect their revenues to increase. And then about 63% will take that revenue and expand their business to be able to fuel the economy. And then 52% plan to hire to support workforce development efforts. So with their expectations in mind, business owners are also thinking ahead about how do they achieve that level of growth. And nearly 90% are looking to obtain funding in the year ahead, which the top funding sources there will be business credit cards, savings, as well as traditional bank loans to be able to support their growth.
Interesting. And Mark, you know, how are women business owners? Does that look different?
Yeah, so women business owners, more than half are planning to expand their business in the year to come and really looking at a few key areas of growth to be able to fuel that success going into next year. So I'll give you three that is really a topic that came up consistently throughout the report, which was one, they're looking to expand their customer base. And many of them, I would say 65% said that's exactly how they're going to grow into next year. And then one of the ways they're going to do that is almost 50% said they're going to create more of an online presence to be able to ensure that opportunities are coming in to be able to kind of drive their business. And then a third said that they're going to leverage professional services to be able to expand that growth. And I'll tell you just from a personal interaction that I've had with our women business owners and just one in particular over the past weekend, she just shared with me since the pandemic, she's seen her business double year after year, so much to the point where now she's going to expect the same level of doubling going into next year, that she's now going to be purchasing a new facility and expanding her resources to be able to truly meet the demand there as well. So there's definitely a lot of opportunities that's fueling the success going into next year.
Now, and kudos to that lady, because that's a boss lady right there. I love it. And now, could you share what kind of business that is? Just curious.
So I will say, I can tell you from an industry standpoint, it's really supporting all industries. And the one way that she's doing it is really with technical or technology. So I would say it touches every industry, but one of the key drivers of her business is technology.
Got it. Yeah, that is definitely. So let me ask you, labor shortages. I mean, that's a huge thing. I was just in a restaurant and they can't get enough help, and they're looking to sell their house, their business, and possibly have to close the doors because they don't even know if they can sell it. What happens with something like that?
Yeah, you've touched on one of the areas that was definitely a concern by business owners, and I'll share with you some of those top concerns that came out of the report and what we're hearing from business owners. And I would say labor shortages is definitely one. The top concern was really around inflation, which was about 70% of the survey participants shared that was their number one concern, and then followed by interest rates, potential recession, and then also commodities pricing, and then the strength of the dollar, and then of course labor, as you just mentioned, as well as all those top areas that they're really focused in on. And then as far as the labor shortages and really employee retention challenges, many of our business owners have found the ways to just combat some of those challenges by increasing wages where it's possible, and using that as a way to attract more competitive talent, and then also just personally investing those hours to be able to make up for the staff shortfalls that they may have as well. So I would say those are probably some of those key areas, as well as maybe looking at some of their products and services to tailor it to exactly what their needs are for their customers to be able to fill that void as they continue to find the staff that they need.
Yeah, really interesting. And, definitely the increase on everything. I mean, I guess that's why small businesses are having, a tougher time, because, they don't have as much inventory, and yet it costs them so much to access it, correct?
That is. So they're definitely being impacted by some of the supply challenges that is kind of working its way through. But then to your point, just being able to pass along those increases on many of those supplies that they're acquiring, it can be challenging.
Yeah. So Mark, do you have any, tips? Let's start with small businesses.
So small businesses, one, I would say a resource and a tool that is out there, because I know we've talked about the report that I was just sharing, and I would definitely share with all the listeners here that the full report is available at bankofamerica.com/WMBOS. But one of the tools and resources that I get the most feedback from our clients and potential clients is really around a site that we have available. When they're on that website, they can access the Bank of America Center for Business Empowerment. And so this site is really focused on helping entrepreneurs provide a roadmap to their new, whether they're a new business or an experienced business owner. They can go in and hear about ways that they can manage their finances, control cash flow, day-to-day operations, scaling capabilities, and different tools and resources that will be able to help their business, because we've heard loud and clear a lot of these key areas where business owners are focused. So that site is also another great tool and resource, along with the local bankers that we have in every one of the local markets that we serve as individuals that can help be advisors.
I love it. Okay, give out that website one more time for our listeners if they need any help and, they have a place to go and check it out.
Yeah, so it's bankofamerica.com/WMBOS. And then also at that same site, you'll be able to find the Bank of America Center for Business Empowerment.
Okay, great. Mark, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life and Business. And we appreciate you. And please share our show with everyone and download our podcast.
Thank you so much, Kim, for the opportunity to join you.
All right. Well, I'm really excited to bring my next guest on, and that is Nagi. And is it Maheshi? Did I get it right?
Oh, pretty close. Mahashi.
Mahashi. Perfect. Perfect. All right. Well, I am so excited. I was looking through your beautiful cookbook, but it's more than a cookbook. It's really got your passion, and I could totally tell. Talk to us a little bit about who you are. And is this your first book?
No, it's my second book, actually.
Wonderful. And where's that beautiful accent coming from?
From Australia, Sydney, Australia.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah. All the way there. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you. So I have a recipe website called Recipe Tin Eats, and I made a cookbook for my readers, my first cookbook for my readers, and the reception was just so great. I recently just launched my second one, so really, really exciting. It's, been a bit of a whirlwind.
Yeah, Nagi, so talk to us. Okay, first of all, how did you even get into this? What was your inspiration? And, you know, is it somebody in your family, or how did you just start loving to cook and share?
To be honest, I was just so lucky because my mother's such a great cook. And even though money was so tight growing up, we still ate like kings because she just knew how to make great food on a budget. And when I moved out of home and I got my first full-time job at the age of 18, I just couldn't afford to eat out all the time. So, and it was such a shock to the system to come home after a long day at work and not have dinner sitting on the table waiting for me. And so I literally had to learn how to cook just to survive.
There you go.
Yeah. And I guess the quality, the standard to which I was cooking the food that I wanted to eat is what I grew up with, which is what my mother made for me. And I think that's the key thing that's resonated with my readers is what I call the palate, the level of flavor, the level of salt, the amount of fat I use, and just the way I cook has just really appealed to a lot of people. So,
And Nagi, where'd your mom learn to cook?
I think it was just fending for herself, because I can tell you for sure my grandmother was a useless cook.
Oh, okay. That's so funny, because my grandma was a great cook. And then my mom was a great cook. And then I learned, and I have two daughters and two sons, and one of my daughters totally took after me with cooking, and one took after me with baking. So we've got the best of both. But it is, when you have like a certain, you know, taste that you have, it's almost like, I don't know. You know, it's funny what that saying that goes, you know, it's all the way to your heart. You can take you back to moments in your life where you chose something or ate something. And it was like, even my husband and I have been on vacation and we've gone into just restaurants and we're like, remember how good that was, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, what's great about your book is my husband and I both love to cook. And so do you. And it's hard to go out and eat. So I would much rather, and it's so expensive, that you could actually make incredible meals at home, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I really do enjoy eating out at restaurants. I love supporting my favorite chefs. But you just cannot beat homemade food. And, you know, I think there's a time and a place to be going out to beautiful restaurants. But as for getting that, you know, what I call the quick and nasty takeouts, that's what I really encourage people to avoid and just cook a meal at home. And with this book, it really does prove, you know, there's a whole section on recipes that you can make using whatever you've got on hand. So essentially the pantry chapter, or the nights when you're really, really short on time, when you've got literally 15 minutes from start to finish to make a meal, there's a whole chapter on recipes for that. So this book really is focused on, aptly named recipe book, tonight, meals you can make tonight with what you've got, with whatever time you've got, no matter how fussy the kids are. You'll find plenty of recipes in here.
I love it. And talk to us about your dog, Dozer. Okay.
Dozer.
Talk to us.
He's more popular than me. So, you know, there was so much demand there after my first cookbook. I actually had to put him on the cover.
I love it.
It's ridiculous. I can't put a recipe on my website without including an update on what he's up to.
What's next for you? Obviously you just came out with this book and, are you going to write another one? Where are you going from this?
Right now, I'm just focusing on the book tour. I find that I really want to put my energy towards that because I love meeting people in person. We've had a lot of events and signings, and yeah, that's what I'm focused on at the moment. And then when I get through this, I'm keen to just get home and get back into the kitchen, to be honest. I love creating new recipes so much. So I'm keen to get back into that.
I love it. Okay, so talk to us, like, what is your most favorite? If you could go to kind of each one of your chapters, what is one thing out of each of your chapters that is truly your favorite? I know you talk about food bank initiative. Talk to us a little bit about that first.
Yeah, sure. So my food bank is called Recipe Tin Meals. And it's a privately funded food bank that I run as part of my business. I started it during the pandemic because I saw that there was increased food insecurity here in my community. And I'm very fortunate because I have a properly trained chef as part of my team. And so through him, I asked him to set up the food bank for me, and we hired more chefs, and they work full time and make meals that we give to the less fortunate. We make 500 hot meals from scratch every single day. That's including the stock. We don't use any store-bought stocks or pastes or anything
Every
like
single day. Wow, that's
that.
incredible. Wow, wow,
Yeah, so
wow.
we do 500 meals from scratch every day, plus desserts, and they get distributed to people. And yeah, we've never missed a day since we've started. So it's really great.
I
Most
love
important
it.
part of my business.
Well, that's beautiful. And that's what it's all about, finding your passion and your place in the world to give back. Talk to us about your recipe testing process. What's that?
Oh yeah, it's always very interesting. People find it so interesting. Look, I'm just very particular about testing my recipes because I hate using recipes where they don't work out. And that's actually one of the things that I wanted to be a point of difference with my website when I first started it. I was adamant that every recipe had to work and be foolproof because I'm sick of using recipes that fail. So I just hate wasting, not just your money and your time and having to eat like a not very good dinner, but me as well. I want my recipes to work for me. So I just test them a lot, and I'm very, very particular about it.
Wow, I love that. Stir fry. Stir fry has to be one of my favorite things. I actually do this a lot. Throw a little chicken in, vegetables, try a little different sauce. Talk to me about yours.
Yeah, so I have a master stir fry sauce called, I've just given him a cute name, Charlie, as in Charlie Brown, because it makes a brown, one of those clear, glossy brown sauces. And yeah, one of the most popular recipes on my website, I just threw it up and said, hey, here's my all-purpose stir fry sauce. He'll last for months in the fridge, and you just need to add water. And he's one of the most popular recipes on my website. So for this book, I created a whole chapter of recipes using Charlie as the base sauce. And it can be as simple as just adding water and noodles, vegetables, and a protein. And literally the sauce has enough flavor in it to just use it just like that. So something genuinely that tastes like what you get from restaurants. So there's a lot of stir fry sauce recipes where they're just bland. They miss that complexity of flavor. So yeah, this one is one that is just great on its own with just a bit of water. It's already got corn flour in it, so corn starch in it. So it actually thickens and becomes glossy and coats everything, and it soaks your rice. And yeah, it's fantastic. But also the base for so many things that you would never think to do. So like egg drop soup, it's the base for the broth of egg drop soup, sweet and sour pork, so many things, sizzling beef. So yeah, egg foo young, like it's just yeah, the source of that. So yeah.
Very good, very good. And so give us like what is your if anybody called you right now and they said, what's your favorite recipe that you could share right now, what would you want the world to know?
I want everyone to make the cover recipe, which is Korean barbecue chicken. It's a
Oh.
universal crowd pleaser. Even if you've never had Korean barbecue chicken before, it's one of those foods that kids, adults, even people who say, no, I'm a meat and three veg person, they take one bite and they just swoon because Korean food, it's a classic Korean food. It's got, garlic, sweet, savory. You can make it a little bit spicy or not. And yeah, it's just the depth of flavor in that marinade is just amazing. Cook it on the barbecue, you can cook it in the oven or on the stove. So, and you can use it on so many different cuts of chicken. So incredibly versatile. But for me, the thing is, it's the flavor. It's like it's just universal, a crowd pleaser.
Okay, you could tell you're passionate about that. I love it. So, where can my listeners find your book? Thank you so much for my copy. It's going to go right in my kitchen. And I don't even know, we didn't even talk about this, but I don't know if we can give away a book. Is that possible for our listeners?
Absolutely,
Okay.
sure. If you just arrange it through Peter, we can get one to
Okay,
me.
wonderful. Well, I want to let our listeners know right now if they call in right now at 805-419-0008. You can get one of her beautiful books. And if they don't win it here, Nagi, where do they win it? And I, where do they win it? Where do they buy it?
You can find it in store now, wherever good books are sold. And to find out more, just go to my website, recipetineats.com.
All right. Again, thank you so much. And I love this. And I can't wait to have you on again. So take care. Thank you. And follow me on social and I'll share our show with everyone.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nagi. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. Some really cool stuff. And I hope that you learned something. And if for anybody that definitely wants to win either some tickets or a book or comedy, please, or come to my mixer. All you have to do is text us or call us at 805-419-0008. That's 805-419-0008. I hope that you have an incredible weekend. And of course, we always end our shows with a moment of happiness. The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their own dreams. I hope you dream beautiful. All right, talk to you later, and we'll see you next week.